Well, it's a good year in football when your team has a winning record. This is a push off. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Push Off Podcast, the weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last week and gets you ready for the next. I am your host, Scott Hogan, and standing across from the bar from me in a triumphant return is
Dan giving birth to a playoff birth. Right.
Dan, welcome back, buddy. Took some time off to bring a life into the world.
I did. My daughter was actually born on the day we normally record.
That's right.
At 1:16 in the goddamn morning, after my hero wife went through 26 hours of labor.
Wow.
And 3¾ hours of pushing.
Give it up for her. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Jesus. That was some stuff. Yep. I mean, I was eating pizza the whole time, but she did great. So
okay.
I'm really proud of her. And the baby's cute. The baby's still alive a week later, and that's
awesome.
Really all you can do.
Yeah. So you've been a dad now for a week and change.
So you could say I've got a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah. At this point, you're an expert. Is there anything you can tell us novices? Anything you can tell people?
No. So this is the one piece of advice, because I like to break things down into just like bullet points. Brand new baby, there's only five things. Five things you got to worry about with that baby, okay?
Yeah.
Is it fed? Does it need sleep?
Okay.
Does it need to burp? All
right.
Does it need to be held?
Ah.
Yeah. That's the big thing. Yeah. You gotta, because sometimes they just need to be held. They just need to be held. And is it sick? Does it have a fever?
Okay.
So as long as you're like fed it, burped it, sleep, you're good.
Holding it.
Holding
making sure
it,
it's alive and well.
It's not 300 degrees.
You didn't ask whether or not it's been changed. So you just been leaving that baby in its own.
Oh,
shit.
No, she's just butt. Just bare butt.
Oh,
pooping,
okay.
On, pooping wild.
Just coming right out.
Just
right.
Pooping wild. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, diapers as well. So six things.
Six
guys,
things.
I don't have a handle on it.
Well, you soon will, as we all know, Dan. You're going to be an expert of that, as you are at football.
Hello.
So, this is why you're here, though, to discuss football for a little bit.
I'm not here to talk babies.
No. But,
except for Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh.
Bitch.
Oh. We're digging in right away. So before,
I'm back, man.
Yeah, Dan, you're fully back here. So lack of sleep and everything. Let's jump in here and see how we do.
So this is the other funny thing?
Yeah.
I'm actually not sleeping much less.
Oh, okay.
Like, before this, I was sleeping like 4 hours, 5 hours
That's
a night.
True.
I just don't sleep all that much.
Yeah.
My wife, rude awakening.
Uh-oh.
She used to be a 9 hour sleeper. Not so much anymore.
Oh dear.
So yeah, that's what I'm dealing with is now my life partner, my wife.
Well, if nothing else, let's get you through this, get you back so she can sleep.
Exactly. I got some baby relief to pitch later.
So I want to jump into the news, but first let's get caught up on where our picks are heading into this week. Heading into this week, I was tied with my mom at 135. Dan, you weren't too far behind at 127, but there isn't much left to pick this season.
No, sir.
So we'll see how we turned out this week. But before we get started, some news that happened. I only have a little, actually one bit. Josh Gordon. The Josh Gordon release, it sounds like he failed another drug test. Wasn't just marijuana they were looking for, or that he's been on or something here. Patriots did the best they could, try to keep him clean. It seemed like good news for the time he was in New England. Then all of a sudden it was over.
Addiction is a fucking disease.
Yeah.
You know, Mitch Hedberg used to have a joke that alcoholism is the only disease you can get yelled at for having. Where nobody's like, damn it, Barry. They're like, damn it, Barry, you're an alcoholic. They're never like, damn it, Barry, you have lupus.
Yeah.
Like, addiction's one of those other things where you got to realize that it is a disease and, you know, he relapsed the same way people get fucking cancer again.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking bummer, man. Josh Gordon's got issues well beyond basic substance abuse. Like, that guy's on some harder shit. He just is not ready to deal with his life. Tremendous talent. Has always been a tremendous talent. I think he's finished. He had a chance here with the Patriots to really make good and get another deal, but it's over.
It's sad that it is, as you're saying, like that's the one thing. It kind of feels like a wasted talent, and I think people might be upset at hearing this thing, but I think what you said is nail in the coffin here. It's a disease. The addiction he has is obviously something else. And I think what it proves, too, is these are athletes that might be so good on the field and so good at certain things, and then other things in their life get in the way. And that any of us can think of that when we think of trying to succeed in anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some things, like, I always think about, I'm a pretty decent whistler. You okay. know?
Give us a hit.
Pretty decent.
Hey.
So like, I can whistle. Nice. I can whistle, I can adjust pitch. Some people cannot whistle, yeah. but they can, like, do fucking math. Way, just excellently. They're great at doing math. We don't realize that, like, to a degree, being athletic now in society is kind of that thing. It's like, oh, I can whistle. It's like, I just get paid a fucking ton of money to be able to whistle. I can do this thing that other people can't do.
Yeah.
But imagine if I could whistle and also had, like, borderline personality disorder and bipolar or
sure.
schizophrenia. You'd be like, one hell of a whistler, yeah. I guess. What a waste of a whistling talent. You know, you would say, no, this person is sick. This person has mental health issues. They need to address that. I don't care how good at whistling they are.
Yeah.
That's what we're at with Josh Gordon. It doesn't really matter how good he is at football.
Yeah.
This is something he's going to fight with for the rest of his life. And I hope it's a good long life, and I hope he gets healthy.
Yeah. No, I am exactly with you on that one. All right, Dan. That's the bummer news I have here. Everything else we're going to get into as we talk about what happened last week and get us ready for the playoff picture. Next time we talk to you after this week, we will know the playoff matchups. Everything will be solidified. Every team but those top six in each conference
yeah.
will be done. And we'll just be ready to talk about those six till we have another champion.
There's one playoff game this week.
Yes.
They got real
in
lucky.
In a way. Now, there's other teams that technically could say, we have a playoff game here.
Technically.
But you're right. There's like a play-in game, kind of. I don't know.
Well, it's literally the only... So the winner of that game, as
yeah.
long as they
as
don't
long as
tie,
there is a winner, yes.
As long as there is a winner, that person goes to the playoffs.
That's the only
I
thing,
like that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was kind of hinting. I was like, well, technically could not win.
Yeah.
So let's see how it goes. So this week, one other great thing. And first of all, we apologize. We're coming to you guys a couple days late. But the nice thing is there's no Thursday game to contend
to. I had a baby.
Dan's bringing in life into the world. So relax, football listeners. We love you guys so much. But we don't need to feed you every day,
yeah.
right? We don't yeah. need to make sure that you're held.
I have to feed her 9 times a day.
Jeez.
My wife does most of those.
Yes. Yeah. So anyways, no games any day but Sunday here. Monday night games are
Love
over.
It.
Thursday night games are over. Even those Saturday games until we hit playoffs, and then we'll throw a couple of those in there. But there is just Sunday games here. You wake up starting at noon, and the noon ones you can kind of sleep in over. It's those 3 o'clock ones in that night game. And every team playing a divisional opponent, which is also something the NFL did a few years back. Which
smart.
Yeah, it's really great. It leads to a lot of these playoff games, these play-in games of got to win to get in, and let's see how we go. All right, Dan, so a lot of games to start with here for the game of the week. As I started putting this together, I realized it's best to just do maybe NFC here at the top, talk
yep.
about that playoff picture. Because our boys might, one of us are in and the other one might just be.
We might be seeing each other.
And we might be even seeing each other. So before that, and then AFC after that, 2-minute no offense. So the first game I want to start with is actually an AFC and NFC matchup, but a big one for the division thing was, and a fun, it was a fun game to watch, even though I don't quite like how the end was. Texans 30, Eagles 32, but we were both taking the Texans in this one, the Eagles surprised.
This game was a fucking blast, though.
It was.
Y'all know I don't ever pick the Eagles, and I hate the Eagles. But god damn it, Nick Foles was fun as shit. Big Dick Nick slinging it around.
We had Todd on this episode last week, and he was very hesitant to take the Eagles. He kind of expected them to come back down to earth, but now it's 2 straight weeks of them kind of showing up into, we need to win, and we're beating good teams in order to do it. 2 playoff heading teams,
yeah.
the Rams and the Texans. What do we think about Eagles now?
I think they're probably going to wind up missing the playoffs,
oh,
but not for lack of ability. Mm-hmm. You know, they rushed Carson Wentz back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're seeing from this year. That's the tale of this year. If you had just kind of given Nick Foles the reins at the beginning of the year, we might not be in this situation. Now, Nick Foles has got himself a very interesting life.
Yes.
If he wins this next game and the Vikings lose, Nick Foles is in the playoff for a second year in a row, and he's got a chance to make some fucking noise.
So let me ask you this, since we're there and we're talking about it. If you are the Eagles, not if you are a Cowboys fan that hates the Eagles very much like we know you are, but if you're an Eagles front office guy, sure. I'll put you in there, and how far can Nick Foles go till you go, shoot, we have a bigger decision on our hands next year?
I don't think it's a decision at all. It's still his team.
Even if he gets another MVP Super Bowl win.
Franchise him. Okay. You franchise and move him.
And move him.
That's what you do.
So you're still looking at Wentz as your future. Foles is just, we're having some fun with a lucky.
The age difference is substantial. The talent level for Carson Wentz is through the roof. There's an idea that Nick Foles has always kind of been maximizing his talent his entire career.
Yeah.
That there's no more ceiling left for him. There's still ceiling for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's true.
I would not be against, personally, if I'm the Eagles, franchising Carson Wentz. Oh, sorry, franchising Nick Foles,
yeah,
and keeping them both.
Can you afford that? All right, franchising a quarterback.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not, but I'd make the threat, you know, just to try to see what trade options I could drum up.
That's true. But, yeah, I mean, so chances are they letting him walk?
Yeah, he's going to walk. I think he has a weird contract issue. I'll have to look into this, but I think they can pick up his option, but it's like $20-something million.
Okay. So, yeah, you're asking a lot of money for a backup if that's how you picture Nick Foles here. Other side of the ball, and we'll talk more about the Texans and their situation in the playoffs, but Watson looked good here, 339 yards, two touchdowns, ran two in. Hopkins, 104 yards. This was a game where they were down by two touchdowns heading into the fourth quarter, rushed back to take the lead, and still lost it with a last-second 35-yard field goal by the kicker for the Eagles there. Blanking on his name, the Eagles kicker.
Oh,
Elliott. Jake Elliott, thank you. So a couple of interesting things in here. Nick Foles gets smacked out of this game at the beginning of that last-second drive, misses a play and comes back in to connect and get him in a field goal range. So showing some good just strength and toughness. And
straight up, I mean, he got the wind knocked out of him. Jadeveon Clowney headbutted him straight in the ribcage.
Yeah.
Truly, truly spectacular. I just looked it up. There is a $20 million option for Nick Foles. So they can pick up his option, keep him
if they want
without
to spend
a straight franchise
much.
Tag, but it's $20 million. Carson Wentz's deal is still not bad. You know, this is like the situation we had with Romo and Prescott a couple years ago where you're just not paying this guy all that much money, so you might as well put $28 million or $26 million in your quarterback room.
Eh.
It makes sense. But I don't think Foles is there next year.
Yeah,
I just don't think it. I honestly feel like he's going to be 29, 30 years old next year. I think they pick up his option and trade him and get a second or third rounder.
Okay. God, four touchdowns, 471 yards in this game. He still is throwing balls straight up into the air, but they're ending up in Eagles' hands. It's a frustrating as hell to watch when you want them to lose. But here we are. The Eagles are not dead yet. They want to make that last week of the season somewhat exciting. A team that, as we continue on, a team that has found themselves at the end now, finally, after a loss in Tennessee, Redskins 16, Titans 25. Titans win that game Sunday. Or, excuse me, last Saturday.
Yeah, this was an obvious thing that was going to happen. The Redskins are starting just the worst motherfuckers at quarterback all season, and these Titans are a decent team. Now, I'm picking the Titans, just a little spoiler, I'm picking the Titans to lose this week to these feisty red-hot Colts.
Well, and it might be because they lost Mariota halfway through this game. He's still having, like, tingling in his arm. He went back to practice today, but there's no guarantee he's going to be able to play. So it might be Blaine Gabbert time for that playoff game.
I ain't afraid of no Gabbert.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. We'll discuss that on the AFC side of things. But on the other side, the Redskins, you're right, Josh Johnson, in their last 2-3 weeks, it was kind of exciting to see them maybe get a chance, but it was like, how long can this last? And they were in this game. They kept it close. And then finally, the Titans kind of just bypassed them. A late touchdown by Gabbert kind of helped out.
Redskins defense is good. Yeah. This Redskins defense is good and improving. You know, there's a thought that you're probably going to have Gruden there next year. But that offense has been anemic at best.
Yeah, I mean, you could have said that from the beginning of the season when they went with Alex Smith and everything else. It's like, this isn't a sexy pick. This is kind of a mid-gap thing, and then they lost all their running backs, and Adrian Peterson was their offense through many years. What was impressive is how they kept winning games, how they kept themselves in the race, even after losing all their quarterbacks. Yeah. They kept hanging in there until the last week of the season, but didn't it here. Some roster news, DJ Swearinger gets cut from the Redskins right after this game
yep.
by saying he could pick the defensive plays better.
He could. I mean, he could have. This is the unfortunate thing. DJ Swearinger is correct. They could have won this game. I'm not blaming this defense, though.
Yeah.
You know, Swearinger's happy now. He's, you know, he's already made his way. He's been claimed by the Cardinals.
That's right.
He's going to be happy there next year. There's just so much. There's got to be so much frustration in Washington with the way this season has gone. I'm not going to blame the defensive coordinator. They're not the reason that Josh Johnson is throwing passes.
No.
You know, that's not them. Your defense can only hold on for so long before you start to break and chip away. You need an offense that can actually hold on to the clock and generate some pressure for the other team.
I thought this was a surprising year, even with the injuries for the Redskins. It's that front office. It's not very good, and they keep making mistakes. So until that gets fixed, you're going to enjoy it. Sure.
Stick it in my veins.
The funny thing about Swearinger, if he goes to the Pro Bowl, he'll be wearing a Cardinals helmet, whether he plays week 17 or not.
Gotta love it.
How about that? All right. So now this leads us to talk about a big matchup for the NFC playoff picture, Eagles at Redskins. They made this a 3 o'clock game, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, because it's important. Eagles will, with a win and a Vikings loss, can clinch the last playoff spot.
Eagles are going to win this game.
Eagles are going to take this one, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. At this point, how anticlimactic would it be? I'm sure you'd love it.
Yeah.
But how anticlimactic would it be if the Eagles are like, oh, yeah, no, we fucking lost the Redskins in Week 17 for no reason?
In Washington, a divisional game, so it's open for an upset thing, but I'm not expecting it. I have Eagles here, too. Are you saying you're picking the Eagles?
I am, for the first time this season.
The last game of the season.
The last game of the season. Picking against my blood rivals, the yeah. fucking Washington Redskins. This is the only way you get me to pick the Eagles is yeah. against the blood rival Redskins. I'm picking them to win this game. Not an upset, but they're going to put pressure on these Vikings for the end of the year.
This is why I'm so glad you're back, because I think as soon as we were going to have Todd on this game, the Eagles, or this podcast, the Eagles turned it around in some sick fashion.
Yeah.
He was in, you know, our episodes last year, and they win the Super Bowl. For some weird reason, we are the good luck charm, the push-up
podcast. I don't like this.
For the Eagles. I don't either. So we got to, I'm done. We got to keep Todd away from this until this team is out of the league. No, but he was great to have on last week. But yeah, let's hope that the Vikings take care of business so this game doesn't mean anything. But it's happening at the same time. Eagles are going to be ready to play. They need to win. So you're right. I think they got this one.
I think so, too.
All right, let's talk about your game, buddy. Let's talk about the Buccaneers losing to the Cowboys 20-27. This is probably one you had an eye on, even with the young one.
So I was watching this game. This was one of those things my wife was like, okay, I'll just step out of the room. So, like, the baby was completely out of my life for about 3 hours. No. Like, we need this fucking thing. And I said a couple weeks ago, I mentioned a name, and I said, if he's my Leon Lett, I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
Randy Gregory balled the fuck out in this game.
That's true.
Balled the fuck out. Had a great sack. Had that forced fumble that Jalen Smith wound up running the entire length of the field back. This Cowboys team, this is exactly how we need to beat people. Great defense, offense that gets enough points on the field. If you can get a defensive score and enough turnovers,
yeah.
nobody beats these Dallas Cowboys. And we're decent at home. I'm worried about any team coming into Dallas having a really great chance. We just look ferocious on D.
Yeah, no, you guys were stifling in D here. The Buccaneers played this game right. They were in it. It was 13-17 at the half, but just awful turnovers was yeah. what led it to the Cowboys win. And then you're right. He played great. Sean Lee, a healthy scratch. What's going on there?
Well, there's no reason for Sean Lee to come into this game while he's still dealing with an injury and aggravate anything.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
So why healthy scratch is healthy's in quotes.
Here. I think he's actually a healthy scratch.
Okay.
But if you're going to tell me, hey, would you rather find out that Sean Lee hurts himself in this game, or would you rather find out that Sean Lee gives you 3 or 4, 5, 10, 15 great snaps in a playoff game, and then he goes down?
There you go.
You know, give him the rest that he needs to get his hamstring right. And I don't need to see Leighton Vander Esch ever leave the field. That guy's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, and they're kind of playing the same position, so yeah, you're fine with them in there. Do you see, though, if with Leighton Vander Esch coming up, is Sean Lee kind of done as your guy for Dallas?
I mean, he is. Yeah. I don't think there's any bad blood there. It's the same way with Romo when Dak came up. Romo had a great speech at the end of that year. He goes, Dak deserves to be the starter. He's like, he deserves to be the starter. We've been winning. It's like, it's over for me.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean Lee's kind of in that same mindset. He's been injured a lot. He's in his early 30s as a linebacker with a lot of speed. He's dealing with injuries for his entire career. Vander Esch, all of a sudden, is just this fucking beast. But I want Sean Lee in that rotation.
Okay.
I want Sean Lee here for the playoffs. I want to win Sean Lee a Super Bowl.
There you go.
More than any other player on that team, I want to win Sean Lee a Super Bowl.
Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They beat your guys' team in first downs in this game, but obviously with Tampa and the way they do it, they just turn it over.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, closer to that. Is Dirk Koetter done in Tampa Bay?
I don't think he is.
Damn.
I think Koetter holds on to his job because there was enough turmoil here that you can blame a lot of this on Jameis Winston.
Okay.
And Koetter can be like, hey, look what I did. Like, we were one of the better offenses in the NFL. And Koetter's the offensive guy, so you can't really lay that on his feet.
So do you change Jameis Winston?
I don't think you do.
So, yeah, all right. So if you're Tampa here, coach is staying, quarterback staying, what can you give to this fan base to think you're going to turn this around?
You can give them a really nice draft pick.
Okay.
And you can change the defensive coordinator. Because there is talent on this defense. I talked about it at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. There is talent here. This is a poorly coordinated, poorly run defense. They need help in the secondary. They need some help at the linebacker position. Levante David is amazing. The defensive line is really good, especially with Vita Vea. He's going to be in there for a long time. But they need help.
Okay.
They need maybe one more weapon in the backfield, maybe one more weapon on offense, but that's not their high priority. Their high priority is fixing this defensive secondary, which is atrocious.
We'll have to see year three of the push-off if you're going to be on that Tampa Bay boat
I don't think so.
It's so early. Who knows? Yeah, we don't know next season.
You know, if they have a couple good draft picks.
Yeah, what they do in free agency, we don't know.
I might fire the cannons one more time.
All right. So this game is early, but I want you to talk about it here. Giants come to Dallas, play those Cowboys. You guys have the fourth seed sewed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
No moving up to third. Nope. No getting a bye week. Can't fall out. Nope. You've won the division. Do you rest everybody? What are you going to see here?
I think you're going to see everybody play the first quarter.
Okay.
We did the same thing 2 years ago where we had Romo kind of come in and play a series and, you know, everything was locked up. We couldn't do better than we were doing, so fuck it. There's no reason for all of our starters, especially with the injuries we've had on the offensive line.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to play Zach Martin all game. No reason for us to play Tyron Smith all game. Lael Collins is probably going to stay in there. You're going to see Connor Williams. I think Xavier Suafilo is going to wind up playing with Connor Williams. There's not going to be a full complement. There's no reason.
So this makes it really tough, but we still pick week 17.
Picking the Giants. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
The Giants are weirdly trying not to get a good draft pick.
Yeah.
You know?
When they need it, because Eli's still going to be there, but...
I was talking to Jay Corey a little bit this week, and we were talking about the quarterback class for this upcoming year. There ain't nobody.
Jay Corey was our Redskins fan on their episodes over the offseason. Yeah. The big Oregon QBs decided to stick around for his senior year.
Yeah, there's not a lot of talent coming out in this year's draft.
Okay.
So there's the one guy I'm keeping an eye on, sorry to do this, is Jake Browning out of Washington, because I've liked him since he was a freshman. I've been watching a lot of his tape for a while. But he's going to go in maybe the third or fourth round.
Shoot. Well, you know? Yeah. So then, okay, maybe this won't be we just had a big quarterback draft. So
we did.
Can't do it every year.
And there's going to be some synthetic movement here and there.
There always is. Yeah.
There's going to be a guy that goes in the top 10. It's just the way it always goes. But this is not a great class. So if you're the Giants, you're like, well, fuck it. It doesn't really matter. There's going to be defensive help, which we need. There's going to be some offensive skill position players, which we need. If Eli Manning's your starter again next season, I feel like the Giants are still probably decent. Eli seems like he's gotten a second life this year.
The Cowboys are going to be playing the best wild card no matter what. Right now, that looks like it could be the Seattle Seahawks if they win at home against Arizona. Seems like a matchup that should happen. But if for some reason they falter there and the Vikings do win, you get Minnesota. Who do you want to see if you're the Dallas Cowboys?
I honestly want to see the Seahawks.
Okay.
I want vengeance. They beat us earlier in this year, and I want them. I'm not super excited about my secondary facing off against the Vikings.
Okay.
But I'm perfectly fine with my running backs facing off against young Russell Wilson. I think we'll be able to get pressure on him in ways like, we can spy. We have enough athleticism to spy him properly.
Lately, Seattle just wants to run it. They don't, I mean, Russell Wilson run it, Chris Carson run it, doesn't matter. Russell Wilson hasn't looked as sharp, and I think they're seeing that and going, shoot, well, we got to run the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if your Cowboys can shut down the run better than the pass, maybe that is Seattle over Minnesota. Yeah, the matchup looks like Seattle's heading there anyways, too, so that'd be a fun matchup, but we'll have to see. This is why we play the games. Anything can happen.
If they lose and we wind up facing the Vikings in the first round, I'd be all right with that, too. There's nobody that I'm really worried about when we're at home.
No, and it's, honestly, yeah, Dallas at home is very tough this season. Very tough. All right, let's talk about another fun game. This one on this side of the bar. Vikings 27, Lions 9. We both took the Vikings to win this one, and they get a step closer to a playoff berth.
Can you defend a motherfucking Hail Mary, Matt Patricia? Can you figure out how to defend a goddamn Hail Mary to end the half?
God, ugly, ugly game to start where it was nearly 100 yards of offense for the Lions and like four for the Vikings in their first three or four drives.
It was 9-0 to start the game.
9-0 to start it, which is what the Lions had to end this game. But yeah, as a Vikings fan, you start going, shoot, is Stefanski not the right thing? I mean, where's our offense and what happened from week to week here? Divisional game, I don't know why we stumbled so much to start when you saw the rest of the game, but finally there was a breakdown in coverage and they hit Thielen on a 3rd and 15. That gets the ball rolling immediately, a pass to Diggs for a touchdown. He goes and sits in the stands for a little bit. And then, we get the ball back right before the half and that Hail Mary. So it's 14-9 at halftime. I'm like, oh, my God, we got the lead somehow in this game. So that's what felt great. The rest of the way it was Vikings from that second half. Rudolph had a big game. Cook, again, over 100 yards from scrimmage. And Cousins threw three touchdowns. This is what I want to see on the road. That's great.
That Hail Mary was a backbreaker, too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk enough about plays that just destroy the other team's psyche. And when you go, oh my God, we just fucked that up. Like, we had the lead. This is exactly the game we need to be playing to beat this team.
Yeah.
And then they just come in there and fuck us on a Hail Mary? Fuck this. And that's, you could kind of see the Lions throw their hands up and be like, who fucking knows? Who cares?
Yeah. No. And we, the Vikings get the ball to start the second half. It's a little double dip scenario there, but the field position and everything else was like Detroit just winning it the whole way. Vikings punting out of the back of their end. Vikings still having problems when they get behind in the sticks. Penalty here, shooting themselves in the foot there, and it's really hard to catch back up. So that's what worries me of this team moving forward. We'll see how they do. But first of all, let's really quick talk about the Bears winning in San Francisco, 14-9 as well. A lot of teams had 9 as their score in this week. Obviously, those teams lost.
I am not afraid of these fucking Chicago Bears.
No.
Can you really be super afraid of these Chicago Bears?
This game didn't look good for them. Their defense, again, though.
Defense is great.
Yeah.
Defense,
I think that's what you should be scared about, is their defense. If anything on the Bears, their defense is sweltering, and they just collapse in on you, especially that pass rush is probably the best in the league.
I see Trubisky play every week. And every week I go, what the fuck are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? This guy is legitimately a pro NFL quarterback. What the fuck is going on?
Bears didn't show an offense, just like the Vikings didn't show an offense until maybe 3 minutes in the second quarter. Bears didn't show theirs until about 5 minutes in the second quarter. But they were only down 9-7 at half for that reason. They get down there and get a touchdown. Niners just settling for field goals. And again, no points in the second half. Got to give credit to the Bears for that.
True.
Mullins at the end of that game, again, one that I wanted to see the Niners win so the Bears had nothing to play for this next week.
Mm-hmm.
Mullins rolls out in a 4th and 4, could just walk over and pick up that first down, live to play another down, and instead he chucks the ball deep down the field. That's a rookie. Fine. Yeah. That's the mistake you make.
Gunslinger.
Yeah.
Gunslinger mentality.
Because that was a rough one. I think Mullins is playing himself into maybe getting a good contract after this year, or maybe get traded to something where he gets a shot.
I think, honestly, if you're Shanahan, you go, keep that motherfucker right here.
Make him your own Garoppolo. I agree.
Yeah.
Stick around until somebody desperately needs a quarterback and give him for a first rounder or something.
I look at him and all I smell is Chase Daniel.
But think about, you just said how bad the draft is this coming year for quarterbacks. A guy like that could probably take a first rounder.
No, God, no.
He shouldn't, but no. Somebody that desperately wants someone.
If you desperately want Nick Mullins, he can be had for a third.
Okay.
In all likelihood, but you're not going to, no one is going to give up a first round pick for Nick Mullins.
So that was that game. Bears take the win, and We now see Chicago at Minnesota for the game this week. What are you thinking, Dan?
I'm thinking the Minnesota Vikings have to take this fucking game. They absolutely have to get it done.
Yeah.
The Bears really don't have anything to play for. These Rams aren't playing exactly the, you know, cream of the crop.
You landed on it. That's what it's set up for. The only reason the Bears have a reason to play this one is if the Rams lose at home. No, not at home. They're at San Francisco. They are at home. At home against San Francisco. The only way that happens, if the Rams lose that game, which is happening again at the same time, this is how the NFL do it. The Bears win in Minnesota, they get a bye week. That's huge. Mm-hmm. So there's a reason to start your starters at least. Hear rumors that they'll look at halftime, and if the Rams are up by a bunch, they'll start resting guys. I don't think we'll see that. I think the Niners are going to keep the game somewhat close. It's a divisional one where the Rams just have to win to get in.
I don't.
You think the Rams are going to destroy them?
I think the Niners are going to kneel down on this one.
Okay.
Because the Niners cannot help their draft position by winning.
True, but the Niners are the one of those teams that have been at the bottom all year but seem to always be playing. Seem to always be playing hard.
But they're within striking distance of a top three pick.
That's true. That's much more important.
You don't squander a top three pick. Now, if you say, hey, we ended the season 6-10, that's very different. But when you end the season 4-12, all you want is that fucking draft pick.
Vikings win and in. They also win if the Eagles lose, but that's at Washington, so Vikings have to win this one. This is kind of a playoff game for them to start it. I like that, you know, I didn't take them to beat Chicago the first time we played them, mm-hmm. but that was in Soldier Field, and that was kind of the reason.
And you're afraid of Soldier Field.
Very afraid of Soldier Field. Well, Vikings just can't win in Soldier Field, but the Bears can't win in Minnesota. They haven't won the last 6 times they've come to visit.
Make it happen.
So I think the Vikings have this spot here because it's so big. If they win, they're in. They play at Chicago again immediately, or Dallas if the Seattle loses. So that's another thing. Do the Bears want to see the Vikings 2 games in a row, which is a very good chance of happening, or do they want to knock the Vikings out so they get the Eagles to come to town? If you're the Bears, what do you want?
If you're the Bears, I think you want to see the Vikings again.
Okay.
I think you want to see the Vikings at home, because the Vikings are going to give you A material. They're going to give you A-plus shit all game.
Uh-huh.
So you're literally going to have experience against their A-plus defense, or their A-plus offense, and their A-plus defensive schemes. So you can literally game plan and scheme the next week for anything you saw this game.
True. What worries me is it's a divisional game, and when you play a team 3 times in a season, anything can happen. Weird stuff has happened in the past there. The Eagles, I feel like maybe that's a better matchup for the Bears, given that you're looking at 2 strong defenses that's going to be on Soldier Field where it's just going to be a mess of a game. But I don't know. I mean, that'd be a red-hot Eagles team with a lot of momentum coming in there if that were to happen.
You don't want
to
face the team with the mo.
Yeah, and that they would probably have that momentum. So, all right, maybe the Bears do want to roll over. Let us scratch their bellies and just see them the next week in Chicago.
Scratch belly, hibernate, Bears.
Come on, let's do this. Bears win. Oh, yeah, we already covered that stuff. So that's the NFC bottom of the thing picture here. We talked here about this one, the Seahawks winning at home against the Chiefs, 31-38. We're both picking the Chiefs in this one.
Didn't see this coming.
Didn't see that coming, but Seahawks with a big win at home.
The Seahawks needed this one more.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And that's
wasn't
what
really
we saw.
Anything these Chiefs were playing for, especially after the Chargers went out and lost on Saturday. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were like, oh, well, so we kind of have it locked up anyway, right? Okay, fuck it. They still looked good.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson still looked like Russell Wilson, having magical 40-yard scrambles, you know, keeping plays alive. This is a decent Seattle team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a decent Seattle team that, if they played a couple games at home in the playoffs, might be trouble.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do quite as well on the road.
No, I completely agree with you. Seattle at home, that 12 extra man there, how loud that place gets, that's when they're really good. What was impressive in this one, Doug Baldwin showed up for the first time this season, 126 yards,
staying
a touchdown,
healthy,
catching huge passes. I say for the first time because I drafted him in both my fantasy leagues. I'm well aware he was not around this year, but he is around at the exact time they need him. Both quarterbacks, Mahomes and Wilson, threw 3 touchdowns in this game. They both are a lot of fun to watch in this league, so you hope they're around for a long time. Be amiss to not talk about the punter for the Seahawks, Dixon, and what he was doing in this game. Dropping kicks inside the 5 again, and then because of an injury to the old man there of
Seabass.
Yeah, they end up having him do drop kick kickoffs. Very impressive, except then they start going out of bounds. But just exciting to see that in an NFL game that you never do.
Yeah, we love Michael Dixon.
Yeah.
This dude is fucking for real. It's always good to see a punter come into the league and take it by storm.
Yeah.
Which we didn't talk about. Did you guys talk about Matt Bosher?
Oh, no, that hit? Oh. That's true. Well, I did. I brought it up in the 2-minute no offense just by saying, like, you know, this is the only thing to really talk about is
Matt Bosher. We should have spent 5 minutes talking about that.
You know what? Maybe was that this? That was last week. Yeah. Yeah.
You should have spent 5 solid minutes talking about that. Just break that thing down.
Falcons have been in the 2-minute no offense for weeks.
Oh,
so
but that hit. I didn't get a chance to talk about the hit.
Yeah, it was a great hit.
But I love it when a punter shows you versatility. Dixon's also fairly athletic as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him start to get involved more on, like, you know, fakes and little special teams plays like that. The Seattle team is interesting because it's a young defense that, while not phenomenal, is led by one of the best linebackers in the NFL in Bobby Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Wagner is right in there in the top 5 right now, right there with, like, Luke Kuechly and Jalen Smith. So you love to see guys like that have success. A guy that at the beginning of the Legion of Boom was like, oh, this is our little brother Bobby, who, you know, is our middle linebacker or whatever. We're fucking amazing. Now this strength of this defense stems from Wagner and his ability to make plays, stop the run, be a sort of all over the field linebacker, covers passes really well. You love to see stuff like that happen for the guy.
I think some of the credit goes to the old man, Pete Carroll. He's a defensive whisperer, and the guy, we watched the Legion of Boom leave this year, and we're like, well, that's probably it for the Seahawks then, be heading towards a rebuilding. But they're here. They're in the playoffs. If they beat the Cardinals in a late game on Sunday, they will be heading to Dallas for that game, and that seems like a good situation for them. The Cardinals have nothing to play for, and what type of...
Cardinals do have something to play for. The first pick.
So and antithesis of playing for it. They have to,
I would not be surprised to see Josh Rosen come out and take a knee on 3 consecutive plays every time they have the ball.
Right, I get So Seahawks are probably in a real good spot here to take up that top wild card spot, but again, we'll still have to play on the road somewhere tough, whether it be Dallas or Chicago.
I think either one, the Seahawks are not setting themselves up well to have long term success in the playoffs, but you win, you get in. That's all you need. Just get an entry to the dance, man.
That's right. That's right. Anything can happen there. All right, Dan. And then finally, one more game to talk about in the NFC. This is a 2-minute-esque. Rams 31, Cardinals 9. Rams went in, took care of business. Gurley or no, hey, it's C.J. Anderson. Big time.
This game sucked. This game really, really sucked. If it wasn't for the fact we had 5 games already in the 2-minute no offense, this would be right there.
I mean, we could have shoved it in there, but I wanted to talk about the Rams and where they're heading to. But a couple things in this game. Larry Fitzgerald, touchdown pass to Johnson in that one. That was a great-looking throw. And then Aaron Donald now has 19.5 sacks, which is a new record for the Rams and a defensive tackle record for the year.
Because the dude's fucking crazy good.
For defensive tackles, have that many sacks is nuts. He is just 3 sacks away from Michael Strahan's record.
I hope he gets it. I hope Josh Rosen gives it to him and pulls a Brett Favre.
Yeah, just lays down on the ground.
Sorry, Aaron. I'll get out of your way.
And then there was a little... This was kind of funny. There was a video that surfaced of Ndamukong Suh trying to poke Larry Fitzgerald in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
Reaches his fingers in there and tries to do it. Larry walks away. And a couple days go by, and Larry Fitzgerald opens up and is like, oh, I have to talk about that. There's no ill between us. Yeah. He's a great guy. I've known him since college. I love the guy. It's like... Only Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, apparently Larry Fitzgerald had tried to take off Ndamukong Suh's chin strap.
That's true. You see that right before as he's messing with the back of his helmet. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's good to see that Ndamukong Suh, a man who, if I met him, would strike fear deep into the core of my person. A man whose name means House of Spears. Like, what the fuck? That dude is a legitimate psychopath, but everyone loves Larry Fitzgerald.
Right. So who gonna go try to poke him in the eye?
No, if Larry Fitzgerald walked into a tiger's cage, the tiger's cage would be like, Larry, legend, what you doing here? It's so good to see you, man.
Yeah.
So, I know I don't have the ability to speak the English language, but I'm going to show affection to you because clearly you're great.
Fitzgerald's throwing the touchdown passes because Rosen can't get it done. This Cardinals team has been a stinker all year long. Yeah. Is Wilkes going to get fired after his first year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, heading that way.
You know, that's the thing is... You go, hey, we gave you a young starting quarterback to groom. And he's like, okay. And then you go, you were so bad, you're going to get the first pick in the NFL draft. Oh, great, I'll do great with him too. It's like, no, get the fuck out of here. You're going to have a guy come in because you see this team, if you get some help on the offensive line, Rosen does still look like he's a legit quarterback.
Yeah.
You get a guy in there that can do a little whispering, get a couple more guys in there, get a couple more playmakers, maybe get Nick Bosa to bolster up that defense a little bit more. All of a sudden, you're talking about a team that, while not making the playoffs next year, is making some fuss. Maybe goes 6-10. Maybe goes 7-9.
It's tough. I feel like Wilkes was kind of set up for a year like this. But then again, you look at the division he was in, and there should have been more winnable games there. I think that might be what they take to the board when they want to fire him. But yeah, I mean, everybody left this Cardinals team. It was kind of hollowed out by the time he took over. And then yeah, you're filling it with rookies who you need to play right away too, and people like Rosen and the wide receiver Kirk from Texas A&M, things like that. Yeah. Like, you needed success from these guys immediately because Larry Fitzgerald's an old man, and David Johnson's come back from an injury. But yeah, there wasn't a success there, and there's probably other things that stem from it too. You don't like to see that rookie head coach go after immediately because I think it's sometimes a building experience there. But if that's something the front office wants, then okay.
You don't know what he's actually built there, though.
That's true.
You know, it doesn't seem like he's been a guy that's really building a culture there in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same situation as in San Francisco where you can see that this team is still playing hard. These Cardinals look lost constantly.
Yeah.
They look lost. They look like they have not had a game plan properly coordinated for them. I think that's going to be the thing that damns Wilkes.
So the 49ers are heading to L.A. to play those Rams in a late game this week. Rams win. They get that bye week, but they cannot get home field. That was sewed up by the New Orleans Saints. We'll talk about that game in the AFC because there's playoff implications that happen there, but yeah, so this NFC match playoff picture looks like, first of all, Saints at home.
Mm-hmm.
The winner's got to go through the Superdome. We told you that's the place you didn't want to be.
Dangerous.
But it happened. The LA
Cowboys
might
can go in there to get it done. Oh. That's not a big deal.
Okay. it looks like LA might get that second bye week. If not, Chicago's right there to scoop it up if they can get a win. And then you've got Minnesota and Eagles fighting for that last wild card spot. Seattle just trying to see who they're going to play. And the same with Dallas. This is the NFC match picture here. We'll get to talk about it more next week, but right now, what are your thoughts?
I don't think you're really going to see... no matter who wins these divisional rounds, they're going to lose. They're going to lose in the division. In the wild card, whoever the winner is going to go to the divisional round and lose to that team.
Lose to the Rams, lose to
the Saints.
Lose
to the Rams, you're going to lose to the Saints because they're just fucking great. That's just the way it's going to go. It's unfortunate, but...
I mean, Goff has been playing a whole lot more human in the last few weeks.
Gurley will be back.
Gurley should be back and healthy by then. You've got the Saints. Yeah, that's a real hard, tough place to play in. I'm not going to say that any of these teams are not unbeatable at home. I think there's you'd need your best efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And in playoffs, that's what you ask for your team. So if you have the best stuff set up there, there's prime for upsets, I think. I don't think it's a guarantee that these guys are going to move on, especially in that NFC. But, yeah, it's asking for a Vikings team and a Seahawks team and maybe even like Chicago and Dallas teams to play better than they probably have throughout most of the season to beat those guys on the road.
All year. You know, the Saints will make corrections from the Dallas game. If Dallas winds up going to New Orleans, we will get throttled in New Orleans. I'm not excited about that. I would love to see them win this game just to say, hey, we won a playoff game, we're moving on, and we'll progress again next year when we add a bit more talent and have some veterans and free agents come in and kind of bolster us and get our starting line together again, finally.
Yeah.
This is a year that the Cowboys did exactly as I thought they would. They're going to go 9-7. This is exactly what I picked at the beginning of the year. This is what I wanted.
Okay.
This is what I wanted. I hope we beat, you know, either the Vikings or the Eagles or the Cowboys or Vikings, Eagles, or Seahawks this week. But that's it. That's all I want from this season.
You guys cannot get the Eagles.
Oh, sorry.
The Eagles would have to get the last spot. Yeah, I know. That's what, that's what you want, but can't get them unless in some weird way it's a championship game, I think, maybe. I don't know.
I want them.
All right. This is a good chance for a break because we got to talk about the AFC when we come back, and we have that 2 minute, no offense. You guys, you waited a little bit later in the week, but aren't you so glad you did? You're here with us now. This is The Push Off. Oh, guys so much. Thanks, thank you so much for joining us back. Talked about that NFC playoff picture. There's just one more week of all teams playing. How bittersweet it'd be. But, you know, when every team plays, you got a group of games that are just poo-poo, and that's what this time is for. It's time for the two-minute no offense.
Because no offense, but if your team is in this particular area of our show, I have probably found you in my daughter's diaper recently. Because you shit. You're a mustardy shit.
Dan, thank God you're back here to pick this part up. We almost missed it last week. You got that clock ready?
I do. This is going to be an Andy Reid 2 minutes, by the way.
Ah, perfect, because I got more than three games. All right.
There you go. And ready, but go.
All right, we're going to start with the Falcons beating the Panthers because the Panthers don't want to win no more. 24-10.
Panthers really don't. The Panthers are like, we're shutting down Cam Newton. We're also shutting down all the lights in the stadium. Everybody's going home. You got to play Taylor Heineke. Also, Taylor Heineke's on IR.
Oof.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Taylor Heineke threw three interceptions in this game. Not a good one to start for his first start. Seventh straight loss for the Panthers. Both coaches expected back. Is that a good idea?
It is. Yeah, it is.
This was this week from Matt Bosher's hit.
That's what I thought.
It happened this week. So as a football fan, the only thing in this game that you need to know about, Matt Bosher's hit. Go watch
it. Lit that shit the fuck up. Sorry, we're taking the remainder of these 2 minutes. One, I love to see Matt Bosher line that shit up properly.
Yeah.
And two, you love to see somebody stick a guy, flip him, and then stand over him flexing.
That's the thing, though. The stand over him should have gotten a flag.
Ooh.
Every other position gets a flag, but when you are the kickoff, punter, whatever.
If you're a regular
just
guy,
laugh at it, let him go on.
If you're a regular guy and you do that, you get a flag. If you're a punter and you do that, you get an erection from me. That's what exactly happens, because that shit was dynamic.
All right. We can keep talking about it or put it up there later if we want. But Bengals lost to the Browns, 18, Browns 26. We both picked it, though.
These Browns are scrappy, man. These Browns are looking okay. The Browns have a chance to have a winning record.
That's right. That'd be awesome. Baker Mayfield, 3 touchdowns in this game. And the Browns now have won as many games with Hugh Jackson as against Hugh Jackson.
God damn, Hugh Jackson.
Swept the Bengals this year. The Packers win in overtime to beat the Jets in a somewhat fun game, 44, Jets 38.
This was a blast. This game was another like, oh yeah, Aaron Rodgers is still the fucking best out there. Sam Darnold looked good. He looks like he's going to be a guy in this league for a while, but God, Aaron Rodgers is just fucking dynamic.
Both defenses were like, I thought we didn't need to play anymore, and they didn't. But Rodgers, yeah, 442 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he ran 2 in.
Crazy.
Darnold threw for 3 touchdowns, so he's trying to show that he's back. And then Todd Bowles just starts complaining about calls.
Like, yeah, Todd Bowles is gone.
Yeah, Todd Bowles probably gone, yeah. Jaguars win one in Miami, 17-7.
God, you know what? I'm so glad this happened to Ryan Tannehill and his fucking hammer thumbs, his stupid fucking face. Looks like a Ken doll, melted Ken doll.
Kessler knocked out in the second half. Bortles came back in this one.
Bortles.
Dolphins D had 5 sacks. This game was the personification of a man from Florida.
Yeah, this was Florida man.
Florida man. And then because we spent so much time in the head, there's just one more game to talk about. Broncos 14, Raiders 27, Monday night. Raiders won.
God, this Raiders team was like on fire the whole game, too. This was a really sharp Raiders team. This, I'm not going to lay this on the Broncos, you know, kind of phone it in. And these Raiders came out for blood.
That Harris with the 99-yard punt return, when he realized the ball was going to be there, just picks it up and decides.
You know I love me some cinnamon.
Oh, it was an awesome play. It was an awesome play.
Dwayne Harris, former Cowboy, who looks like the cinnamon from the Apple Jacks commercial. That fucking guy, he actually talked about it a couple weeks ago in an interview.
Known as cinnamon?
No. Oh. He talks about, I hope he talks about that all the time. I hope he tweets me. But he talked about the fact that you get to touch the ball, or you can do whatever the fuck you want after they touch the ball.
It's a great, yeah, and only the best guys you notice have understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had tried it a couple times earlier in the season and kind of got tackled every time, but they just weren't aware. This Broncos special teams was like, hey, we fucking pinned him right here at the one, and Dwayne Harris is like, later, motherfuckers! And he's so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ran by the whole team. So a couple more things about this game since we're done with the time anyways. After lighting the Al Davis torch to start the game, Marshawn Lynch tried to light a blunt with the flame.
Good for him.
Nice picture of him reaching it up there. This probably, more than likely, the last game for the Raiders in Oakland. The Oakland city is filing a lawsuit against the NFL for the money they're going to lose due to this move. I don't see the NFL staying in Oakland and giving them more money back of revenue. So where do the Raiders go now?
I think they're probably going to wind up sharing with the 49ers.
Okay.
For at least a season. But yeah, Oakland is fucking done with these Raiders too. Oakland loved these Raiders. But these Raiders have broken their heart for the last time.
Yeah.
Fuck the Raiders.
Well, and Oakland wouldn't get them a new stadium.
Your own fucking stadium. You know, all of these guys are fucking loaded. Well, Mark Davis is actually poor. But all of these guys are fucking loaded.
But is any of these guys paying their own stadium?
No, they don't, but they should.
They should. But it's really hard to win that argument against those owners when they look at the rest of the league and go, well, they didn't.
There's only so many markets.
True.
That can sustain a pro football team.
And we just gave LA two teams, and exactly. That was always the threat location.
It's saturated. Yeah. You know, once you pulled the LA trigger, I'm not threatened anymore.
I mean, Vegas, that was a fun idea. It's going to work, I think.
Sure.
They saw what happened with Golden Knights for NHL, and they liked that.
But then where's the next threat? Are you going to go to Oklahoma City? What the fuck are you going to do? Pay for your own stadiums, or you get moved to Utah.
So some rumors about this, there's talk that, well, maybe Raiders play the games in Oklahoma or Mexico City or London. Now, a West team going to London to play their season there would be a mess. I think you'd probably have like 4 games on the road, all 8 games at home, 4 games on the road or something weird. So I don't know how that would work, but I think it's just a fun conversation they're having here. Okay, let's talk about some games. These are some early games and games that probably don't matter for the week. but maybe we can talk about these teams and where they're heading for their future. Dolphins at Bills. That's a game that happens early.
Bills are going to win this game.
I think you're right, too.
Bills are going to win this game because it's at home. Josh Allen looks like a fucking weird horse, and he's going to wind up throwing 2 weird touchdowns and throw 2 interceptions, but they're going to be a better than the listless Miami Dolphins.
Probably means McDermott, though, will be back as a Buffalo head coach.
Good. Yeah, good. Fuck him in the city of Buffalo.
What about Adam Gase? Is he in trouble?
No, I don't think Adam Gase is in trouble. I think they realize that Tannehill is not the answer.
I think
Gase has maximized what he's been able to do with that like bad crop of talent on offense.
I'm hearing rumors too that they're going to move on from Tannehill. We were saying last year, even in the draft, if the Cardinals didn't trade up ahead of him, they probably would have taken Rosen anyway. So I think if the Dolphins have an opportunity to grab a quarterback in the offseason, they're gonna. And I think that they need to.
This bad class, I think, is going to influence more decisions about, you know, where quarterbacks go than anything. Joe Flacco is going to be available.
Yeah, yeah. You Somebody's going to give Joe Flacco another starting opportunity.
Exactly. So this is going to be a real weird quarterback carousel this offseason.
Lions at Packers. That's a game that happens early.
Lions are going to lose this. Packers are going to win it and not help themselves in the draft for some fucking reason.
Which is fine by me, and I agree with you. Packers will win that one. Falcons at Buccaneers early.
Buccaneers win. I think the Buccaneers win and technically become the third best team in that division.
I like the Falcons. I think their defense got a little bit healthier here. I think they're going to turn around. Buccaneers will turn over too many times. Mike Evans just 5 yards away from breaking the franchise receiving yard season record. It's held by Mark Carrier in 1989.
How bad does your team have to be? How bad do they have to be for Mark Carrier to be a record holder?
The record is 1,422 yards for a season, which is a pretty good.
That's actually a decent record.
Yeah, surprising for a wide receiver, but Mike Evans deserving of taking over. He's their offense.
He is. He's fucking great. Also, we didn't talk about it. Mike Evans and Zeke Elliott traded jerseys at the end of the game.
Hey.
And I was like, that is appropriate. That is, who's the game changer? Game changer? Good. I'm glad those two traded.
DeSean Jackson wants out of Tampa. He's been saying it all week.
Yeah, I hope. I mean,
who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking cool. But at this point, who wants DeSean Jackson? He's an injury risk. He's a mouthy guy.
Yeah.
And he's on the wrong end of 30.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck finding somewhere else. All right. The Raiders play the Chiefs late. Now, this game does mean something. The Chiefs need to win to get home field advantage. If they don't win this, a whole lot of shit could go bad for the Chiefs right away. And we've talked about this. Now, does anybody believe that the Raiders are going to go into Kansas City and beat them?
Absolutely not.
Me neither. So the Chiefs should have home field advantage throughout, which is something I've seen them do many times when I was younger, too. The Schottenheimer years and the like. Not out of the woods yet, even
ask
if that
Rich
happens.
Gannon how that goes.
Yeah, it's a rough one, even if it does. But let's have some fun and say they somehow lose. If they lose and Patriots win, Patriots take home field advantage. Oh, God. Think of that
what
happens
a nightmare.
Again. In fact, probably outside of New Orleans, as far as a team you do not want to have home field is New England. Are you kidding?
I don't want to go to fucking New England outside in the winter.
Yeah. If the Chiefs and the Patriots lose and Texans win and beat Jacksonville, the Texans could get home field advantage.
Which would be fun.
Oh, it'd be a blast. Who knows how that works? However, all this goes out of the window if the Chargers win and the Chiefs lose. The Chargers leapfrog everybody, and from what they're going to be on the road, we would have home field games in StubHub Stadium in LA for the rest of the AFC playoff.
I don't think the NFL is going to allow that. I think the NFL is like, no, Chargers, you're the wild card. They're like, no, we can win the division. They're like, no, you don't understand. You're not playing another game at home till you have a real big boy stadium.
And the Chargers, as we saw how they played at home against the Ravens last week, which we'll talk about soon, maybe they don't care. There really isn't a home field advantage for the Chargers.
There isn't anything. I would rather go into a team and quiet their stadium.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want, rather than your stadium to somehow be quiet at the start, quiet throughout, and then you realize that there's seven guys named Brian that are just leaning over your sideline rails, and they're the only guys in the stadium.
Good fans, Brian. Good fans.
How do you know that many Brians?
So, a fun setup if the Chiefs lose at home to the Raiders. Probably not going to happen, though, so we're probably looking at Kansas City, finally, after stumbling here last couple weeks, sewing up that home field advantage for the AFC.
I mean, they've played a bunch of really good teams over the last couple weeks. This is not a really good team.
But think about previous Andy Reid years and how a team that could be so good for so long through the season come down to earth at the wrong time.
Oh, and this is Andy loves this.
Yeah, this is an Andy Reid kind of setup.
But he usually doesn't do that until they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, they're close enough. And they were kind of in the playoffs when he did start diving anyway. So maybe he's seeing the writing on the wall because it's time to tank. I don't know. The Chiefs, there's been a lot of sad stuff here, so I kind of hope that doesn't happen for him. I'll kind of be cheering for him, but they are the top dog, and I like me upsets, so we'll see how that goes, too. All right, let's talk about what was also a real fun game. Steelers 28, Saints 31. Saints win it at home, but a tight one all the way.
Oh, this was fun. This one was back and forth. The Saints defense looking like they were mortal, especially at home. We always talk about how fucking good these Steelers are when they want to be and how they play up to competition. This was a great game because they were playing a great opponent.
Yeah, this is the highest competition they're going to get.
Antonio Brown is so fucking good.
Oh.
He's so fucking good.
A couple of those passes when they needed first downs or throwing to the sidelines, and it's just an easy toe drag for him. I can't believe it. But 185, two touchdowns. And he wasn't even given their MVP for the team.
Isn't that nuts?
Juju Smith-Schuster gets it, and he deserves of it too.
But he does, and what a heartbreak for Juju at the end of this game. You know, they probably weren't going to get that field goal anyway.
Right.
But goddamn, Juju, you just feel so bad for the guy. He's still only 21 years old.
Boswell had to be so excited that it happened because he was
relieved.
Yeah, probably cut if he did miss another one. But yeah, Smith-Schuster has it there, and they strip it right before he's on the ground. So
and he was on the sideline. He was crying, you know, as you would
he's
be.
He's blaming the loss on himself, which is not the case. No. But I mean, for a young player 20 years old to be that in tune with this, that's good for him and good for their team.
Can't wait till he becomes a free agent. Oh
so
boy.
The Steelers stepped in. They played strong, but not enough. Breeze, 326 yards, touchdown. Thomas went big again, too. This was a game that was 14-17 at the half. Steelers trying to early jump a field goal again right at the half. Saw that happen again, so that's something they like to do. And then take a 28-24 lead. But right before the fourth, Steelers had this lead, had the game. A fumble around the 30-yard line. Saints take back for a blocked field goal by Pittsburgh. So again, Saints have a chance, and then, no, Pittsburgh's not going to let you do that. And then it came up to that fake punt, which we are all second-guessing now.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, you play to win the game.
And it was, just under 2 minutes. If they pick that up, the game's over.
I honestly think they had a better chance not going with the fake.
Yeah, I think that's where the biggest argument is, and I kind of agree with it, is either line up and go for it or stick them down there deep.
Yeah.
Defense was doing a good job kind of limiting Breeze in this high-powered offense, but yeah, come on.
I think the mistake that they made was simply not having Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster on the field for that critical play.
Yeah.
It wasn't that you made the wrong call by going for it. The play call itself was bad.
Yeah.
Special teams should have never had that resting on their shoulders. That should have been on the offense.
They thought they were going to surprise them, and it's another kind of real question mark call by this Raiders, the Steelers team.
Honestly, the fucking New Orleans Saints special teams is so well coordinated.
Yeah.
They're one of the tighter special teams in the NFL.
True.
You think they weren't alert for a fucking fake in the fourth quarter, basically in their own territory? Dude, come the fuck on.
So because of this, because the Steelers put themselves this far down and lost some big games like that Chargers one at home and heck, couldn't beat the Browns week one when it was Tyrod Taylor and Hugh Jackson at the helm, they find themselves needing to win and get some help and quite a bit of help to get in.
From the Browns.
From the Browns. Yeah, they want to win that division because if Baltimore wins it, their next game, they take the division. It's the Bengals at the Steelers. This is a late game because it does have stuff on the board for it.
Jeff Driscoll is going to get fucking rolled in this game. You feel bad for the poor guy.
Yeah, Bengals heading into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh absolutely needs it. They're going to destroy them. They're going to tear them through. But there is another way, smallest of possibilities, if the Ravens beat the Browns and the Steelers are sitting there heading into the Sunday night game. They can watch that Colt Titans game and hope for a tie, and the Ravens would sneak, or the Steelers would sneak in with that last wild card spot.
I don't think anybody wants that. Nobody wants to see a tie for the final game of the regular season.
That would make that game very fun, though. It would make that game quite a blast to watch from beginning to end.
Well, the other thing is, if that happens, neither one of those teams would allow that because a tie basically means you lose.
True.
You know, so in any other situation, they'll take a tie.
Yeah.
Week 17, they're going to be like, fuck it, man. We just got to throw Hail Marys, you know?
True. Yeah, the team will keep going, but there's clock no way could still run up.
There's no way this ends in a tie.
I mean, no way is not technically true is all I'm trying to say.
There's no way.
Okay.
Not a single chance.
I don't think it'll happen either, but it's not 0%. It's not 0%. 0%. All right. Yeah, that's where we go here. So if the Steelers win and the Ravens lose, then you're looking at Steelers heading in as a divisional winner and get a home game.
Yeah.
And probably not the Chargers or the Chiefs, but the last wild card, which would be...
Well, if Houston becomes the 3 seed, then they would become the 4th seed.
That's true.
And then so they would play the Los Angeles Chargers.
There is a lot of mess here in that AFC and seeding. Most of the setup is decided now as to who's in and who's out, but it's still a mess as to how and who plays who. So we'll have to talk about it next week.
I guess we will.
All right. Also, Panthers have the Saints coming to town. They go to New Orleans to play the Saints. Saints are already resting people. The rumor is, and it's not confirmed, that Bridgewater will just start week 17.
Oh, yeah.
Saints usually do rest players. That's
I don't think he starts, but I think he's in there Peyton in the second series.
Yeah. Heineke's already to IR for the Panthers. They re-signed Garrett Gilbert, who I guess they'll be thrown to the Wolves for that. If Breeze does not play, he currently has a new completion percentage record, as he does every year, keeps beating himself.
So good.
74.4%.
That's insane.
That is insane. That is really insane. And then Ryan Khalil retiring after this year.
That's a bummer. That is a bummer. I mean...
Big loss for the Panthers.
It's a huge loss for the Panthers. He was their best offensive lineman, and now they're like, oh, fuck, we still have Matt here? Can you take your brother with you, please?
Yeah, no, Matt Khalil's going to stick around unless you cut him. Yeah, so Saints have it all set up. There's nothing really to worry about there, and I think we still have them winning.
I still have them beating this very hapless fucking with Carolina Panthers
Gilbert
team.
Whatever at
Colorado State's Garrett Gilbert. Get ready.
Okay, there you go. Here's what was a fun game from last Sunday. Giants 27, Colts 28.
Oh, man.
Giants led this game entirely until the last 55 seconds.
It was 55 seconds, but I love watching Andrew Luck win football games.
Oh, he's yeah.
He's just so fun. And I love watching Eli Manning have these weird moments of excellence.
And Manning had a great game in this.
Fucking
yeah,
great.
Throughout this game, what was impressive with Luck was all these step-ups in the pocket and throwing deep into the middle of the field to open guys. And he was hitting these passes. I watched Nick Foles throw rainbows to everybody mm-hmm. deep down the field, and Lux are on a string, just right to the guys.
There was a couple T.Y. Hilton throws where you go, I don't know if a bunch of other quarterbacks in the NFL can make those throws.
No, yeah.
Just so accurate, hits him right in the fucking hands, and the only place you could catch it. God, I love watching Andrew Luck play football.
So they fight back. They fight back in this one. The Giants kind of tried to hold on that lead as long as they could, but couldn't hold on to it. Colts win. So that leads us to that big playoff game, the play-in game of Sunday Night Football, Colts at Titans.
It's Colts. It's got to be. The Colts have won 3 of their last 4, and they've won 7 of their last 8.
It's something like, yeah, they've done quite well.
They've done really, really well, and I think they're going to go in and see this reeling Titans team, who has, you know, have a lot of building blocks for the future. This Titans team is not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but this team is not necessarily ready for prime time, especially without their starter.
And that's the thing. Titans, not only is Mariota questionable, but they lost a handful of other big players in that last game. So I think the contrition on their injuries is going to be quite a bit here. It's so impressive what the Colts and Frank Reich has done here, as he is on the footstool here getting in the playoffs. So even if they don't make it in and the Titans win this home primetime game, no, a lot of ill thoughts on the Colts here.
No, this is a successful Colts season no matter what happens this Sunday.
I really believe so, too. But
and honestly, it's a successful Titans season, too.
Yeah, I mean, and the winner of this game could still win that division if somehow the Jaguars get upset against the...
God, that'd be weird.
Or the Texans get upset by Jaguars, yeah. So they could still have a home game after this, or otherwise they're wrapping up that last wild card spot and sitting there playing Kansas City or LA, and you know, or that'd be if they won the division. Yeah, I don't know.
This is so complicated.
The AFC playoff picture is still a mess, so we'll have to see what how this plays out here, because they could all play each other in a weird way. All right,
it's just a six team round robin
for pretty much. Yeah, pretty much that's what we're looking at for at least AFC. This was the Saturday night game. The Ravens shocked the Chargers in LA, 22-10. However, Dan, you picked it.
I did. Well, because I am a believer in Lamar Jackson.
There's the difference there.
He really is. He changes the way most defenses respond to the quarterback position. And you can see it. Like, there's legitimate confusion in a pretty decent Chargers defense when he's on the field.
He was very fast in this one. Got to give him that. The game started pear-shaped for the Chargers. Very first play from scrimmage. Mike Williams burns his corner, but the pass by Rivers is so underthrown that it's picked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically next play, Edwards breaks it for a long one and is in the red zone. They don't get a touchdown. They still just have to kick a field goal. But when the Ravens take a lead, they are so tough to come back on.
The Ravens and the Bears are very similar teams.
Yeah, true.
In that if you can get up on them at all, you can keep them down. And if they get up on you, they keep you down.
They have a great defense. They got a good pass rush to keep going. They want to run the ball heavily, and their quarterback can only really run the ball too.
He's got some abilities, you know.
Which one are you talking about, Trubisky?
No, Lamar. I like Lamar. I like Lamar more than I like Trubisky. But, yeah, I mean, you can tell Lamar still has some work to do.
This Ravens team did have 2 missed field goals by Tucker in the first half. Now, so given weird. One was a 65-yard for a record.
You love to see him give it a try.
Yeah, I wanted to see him give it a try, too. But, yeah, misses those 2, so it could have been an even bigger one, but the game was just 6-3 at the half. Then the Chargers take a lead pretty quickly here. It was 10-6, but that lead did not last long. Immediately a long touchdown by their tight end. So from that point, it was 16-10. This game was closer than the end score, mm-hmm. honestly, until that fumble by Gates with under 3 minutes to play. We went back for a touchdown.
I'm ready to see these Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs because I'm ready to have fun in the playoffs.
So it is Browns at Ravens next week. Ravens win. They are in. They win the division with that win, too. I don't think the Browns are going to make it easy on them, though.
You have to play the dirty white boy, especially because he's going to have that whole, like, I'm going to be a player that doesn't make the playoffs. I'm not going to let another rookie quarterback make the playoffs ahead of me. I still think the Browns wind up losing this game because this Baltimore defense is just so fucking good.
Yeah.
But this is going to be an interesting game.
Eric Weddle stands to make $1 million bonus if the Ravens make the playoffs this year. He had the same thing, though, in his contract last season, and we saw it happen to the Ravens in that Bengals game at the end of last year. Oof.
I think Weddle is going to come out like a missile, and he's going to start taking heads because $1 million is so much money.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see this. I could see the Browns rolling in there, shocking the world. I'm not going to pick that. I think the Ravens have this too because obviously they're playing for so much more here. They want that playoff spot. And even too, Ravens can end up with a bye week with the loss to the Texans and Patriots here in this week, and the Ravens sneak in.
Could get weird, y'all.
Yeah, so it's something to watch. What should the Browns do for coaching here now that they are really seeing an uptick?
You might hate this.
No, I know what you're going to say. I want to hear your opinion.
Greg Williams has made this team a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
This Greg Williams coach team is a lot better. That's coaching. That's coaching.
They're having success from Perriman now at wide receiver. So that, you're right. I mean, it's hard to not look away from that. So if you're the head office here, Dorsey for the Browns, you go, yeah, this is working. Why mess with it?
I think you probably, you know, nobody talks about this, but I think you probably go, hey, Baker, how you feel? You like him? And Baker goes, yeah, I fucking love him. You go, cool, because he's going to be your coach for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to leave Baker the fuck alone.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to leave that wild child quarterback to whatever offensive coordinator he chooses to go with.
Right.
Greg Williams isn't worried about the offense. He wants the offense to do what it's going to do. He's worried about that defense, which has talent.
Yeah.
You know, this is a good position for Greg Williams to kind of get his name back.
This Browns team is one that is got to be a top get for head coaches this season, this next year too. I mean, outside of them, what, Green Bay maybe, but you have an aging Rodgers and you're kind of pinned to that where you have to work around him. I mean, this is your team and you got all this young talent, and I think it's got to be very exciting to be a Browns head coach next year.
And I think you probably want a veteran coach. I would actually not be surprised to see Mike McCarthy be a Browns head coach.
Yeah.
You want a veteran guy that has a team that's young. You wouldn't want to bring Lincoln Riley into this.
You'd want
to bring Lincoln Riley to the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't want to bring him into this. You wouldn't want to bring that sort of style. Baker Mayfield would be like, oh, I'm back to being comfortable in my college environment. He's not going to make those progressions that he needs to make. A guy like Mike McCarthy is going to push him the way he did late stage Brett Favre, the way he did Aaron Rodgers during his, you know, early tutelage.
There is rumors that McCarthy has some interest in going to Arizona if that position comes up.
That'd be a good option for him too. I'd love to see what he does with Rosen.
So there, we got some ideas there. But the big game is on the Ravens' shoulders, and they got to win it. And the Steelers have the big Browns fans. How interesting that is.
How does that feel? How do you like that, Steelers fans? Do you like that?
How is that? Yeah. All right. And then finally, the last game to discuss this week, which, again, another two-minute kind of esque, no offense, is that Patriots win against the Bills at home 24-12.
Josh Allen looks all right.
When he's running it.
When he's running it.
Yeah.
But I just see the guy running for his fucking life. The difference between him running and Lamar Jackson running is confidence. Lamar Jackson runs because he's like, haha, watch this. When I see Josh Allen run, he's like, what the fuck is happening? And he just runs. That makes me nervous for my quarterback to be so nervous.
I'm seeing more athleticism from him than I thought he had.
Same.
And if I'm looking at glass half full for Josh Allen, I'm thinking that of, hey, this guy's got a lot of athleticism and he's a good player of football, where if the accuracy isn't really there,
it's not,
we could maybe find ways getting him out of the pocket, you know, bootlegs and the like, and if with a strong run game, maybe we have something here that can help us for a little bit or really teach him up. But yeah, you're asking a lot for a guy that, when accuracy is like the number one thing from college to pros to have, and it's hardly something that can be taught unless you're the best quarterback whisperer around. Yeah, that's a scary thing, and I think we're going to see that from Josh Allen, especially when these quarterbacks who are very good runners, as there's another one out there that you brought up too,
mm-hmm.
What happens when they get a little bit older? I mean, we're already seeing Marcus Mariota not run the ball nearly as much and stand in that pocket, and we're seeing him with injury concerns. And I'm seeing these guys as a lot like a Mariota, where they came in the league going, I can run the ball though too, and that's my exciting weapon. It's like, yeah, but how long can you actually do that to succeed?
I don't think you can do it for more than about 2 or 3 years.
I agree.
The first 2 or 3 years, you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you kind of have to win from the pocket. And then you can, like, really slash people the way Rodgers does.
Yes.
Where he's like, I'm winning this thing from the pocket.
Russell Wilson kind of still, yeah.
Kind of in the same vein. When Russell Wilson was a young Russell Wilson, he was hard to plan around.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had 2 or 3 years there where they're like, we kind of know what the fuck you are.
Yeah.
And now he's like, ha ha ha, I will just pass and run when I have to. That's the difference. That's the killer with elite quarterbacks, is will you run when you have to?
And I agree with that. I think Josh Allen will have to be the pocket quarterback quicker than a Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But Lamar Jackson's going to have to be there soon enough anyways, too.
True. Lamar Jackson might have a chance to try all his abilities out in the playoffs first.
That's
so
true,
we'll see.
Too. Yeah. All right, but Allen will not. The Bills are not going, but the Patriots are. Jets at Patriots. It is an early game here because they wouldn't put us through it in the second half of the day. But Patriots still can get home field advantage if Kansas City somehow loses, but
No, probably they're going to beat the shit out of these Jets.
It'd be surprising, yeah, to see the Jets roll in there with an upset. But if they do, Texans could jump in there and take a lead there. But instead, the Patriots, with a thank you to Nick Foles, who beat them in the Super Bowl for beating the Texans last week, so
Big
they can jump
Nick.
Back in there. Patriots have, let's see here, what we got? Oh, Patriots to win, yeah, clinch a bye week, lose, Texans get a bye. Yeah, Patriots could play any AFC team, but they're going to be playing at home.
I think they're going to take the week off. I think we're going to have a real cold weather December game here, or January game here momentarily in New England. It's going to be fun.
It would be December still.
Nope.
New Year's Day is, or you're talking about playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Ah, okay.
In the playoffs.
All right, I'm fine now. And then finally, Jaguars at Texans. We've kind of been talking about this. Most of it's if the Jaguars somehow shock the world with Blake Bortles, who is back at center.
Nope, not going to shock the world. This is a Texans team that is going to feast on young Blakey Blake.
Yep, I agree so too. And if that's the case, then the Texans will win the AFC South and go from worst to first, just like the Bears did, which was my pick, so how about that?
Hey, as everybody does in the AFC South, apparently. They just never fucking win the same one in a row.
No, kind of like the NFC South as it is, too.
You play in the South, congratulations on winning. You're going to be last place next year.
All right, so we got through everything that happened week 16. We're kind of getting you ready for that week 17, but you can hear it in our voices. We just want to know who's going
to
make it.
I just want to know. The Cowboys are in. I'm just waiting. I just want them to rest.
You
want to
know who they're going to play? I need our Vikings to beat those Bears, because if we lose out of them, I will not hear the end of it in the city.
No.
And it's going to be a very long offseason if that's my last taste in my mouth. So I'd rather have that win, too. And then if we have to roll in Chicago and lose that wildcard one, that's a different week.
Yeah, you can make peace with that.
Anything can happen there. So let's get it. Let's win it in. Let's get in. Let's get in, and let's see what happens. All right. Picks now. Picks now, Dan, after this last week. You and me split. So we end up in the same situation as we were. You're down 7 to me. I have 146 correct. You have 138. And my mom, again, picked the same as me. 146 is where she's at, too. However, we're a week away, and I want to tell you where we were at the end of the season last year.
Sure.
This is the end of week 17 last year, so we didn't pick the playoffs when we put up our points here. I had 168 games correct last year at the end of week 17.
Oof.
Can't happen there. Mom had 178. That was her big year last
year.
Dan, you ended with 149 correct, so we are all kind of a little bit less as good as we were last year in picking these games.
Well, the longer we do this, the less and less we'll win. And eventually we'll just pick 10 right a year, and everything else will be straight up upsets.
You think we'd get better at this, but here we are.
We're the Titans, I guess.
And then I started in the crazy stats, and I just found so many. So I'm going to run these through with you. All right, here's a fun one. Bill Belichick now has the same amount of head coach wins as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have for their entire franchise.
Christ.
Tampa Bay was bad for a very long time when I first got in.
Wow.
Belichick, when was he ever bad?
Browns.
We're even talking the Cleveland. Yeah, the Cleveland years.
But that's more the Browns than him.
That's true. Patrick Mahomes is now just 187 yards and two touchdowns away from a 5,000-yard and 50-touchdown year. The only other time that happened was 2012 when Peyton Manning did it.
He might, because of these last couple games that he's lost, especially if he has trouble against these Raiders, mm-hmm. he might wind up losing this MVP race now suddenly.
I am all of a sudden. You look at the stats, and Drew Brees is so far up there mm-hmm. in so many things, it's hard to look past him. And the other thing is
sentimentality.
People go, well, Mahomes could do this in
future years.
He'll
be back next year.
Yeah. Drew Brees, how many more does he have? So, yeah, there's a very good chance that Drew Brees sneaks in there and does it. I think next week we should look at this. The season will be over.
We'll find
Let's put down the push-off votes for MVP,
mm-hmm.
rookies, coach of the year, comeback player.
Because there's going to be about 8 two-minute no-offense games.
That's right. We'll have the time, and we'll be talking about those playoff games. One QB has been sacked a league high 56 times this year. Do you got to guess who it is?
I'm going to guess Dak.
It's actually Deshaun Watson.
Ah, poor Deshaun.
The record is a 60 sack season. 06, it was John Kitna.
Oh, wow. I thought it would be David Carr.
Yeah, David Carr was once had the record, but I think Kitna, those Lions, got it back. And, only the Browns have more losing seasons than the Giants since 2013.
Oof.
If the Browns win on Sunday, no other team will, because they'll have a winning record after that. They're 7-7-1 right now.
That's so crazy. I just don't think they're going to have a winning record, but good for them.
Yeah, Browns have kind of come up here, and then surprisingly how bad the Giants have been for as long as they've been.
I'm happy about it. Somehow they won 2 Super Bowls, and fucking who knows.
Yeah, things got to need to change. All right, Dan, and finally a question for you here to end the show. Since 2010, only 4 teams have not played in the wild card round. Who are these 4 teams?
Since 2010.
Yeah. A couple of them should be pretty easy.
I'm going to say, who's been so bad? The Browns.
The Browns are 1.
Browns are 1. I'm going to say the Buccaneers.
Yes, they're 1 too. Good job.
I'm going to say the Raiders.
Mm-mm.
Oh, really?
Well, remember the Raiders got in when Carr got hurt and they had to play
that's right.
Cook at quarterback.
Yeah, that sucked.
Hardly counted, but yes, they played a wild card game.
Damn it.
You want to give me the other 2?
Niners.
Nope.
I don't know.
The Bears.
Okay, makes sense.
I've not played a wild card game since 2010. And then the New England Patriots.
That's a tricky one. I like that.
All right, folks. That's it. We did another episode of the Push Up Podcast. Dan's back.
I'm back.
Helped us get through it. Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, we are the Push Off Podcast. We do this show every week, and we'll be with you throughout the playoffs and then even past it as we head into the off season.
Gonna get into that scouting, y'all.
We love our scouting. We love our discussion of the league. Maybe have some more guests in here when we have the time for them. Again, our thanks to my brother Dan and Todd for filling in last week, but so glad to have you back, Dan. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for
and
having
spending
me
the
back.
Time away from the baby.
Oh, shit, I got to get back to my baby.
Yeah, we got to
no
let him go.
Her.
We got to wrap this up. The baby's been on his own, on her own. So thank you guys so much for listening. We are the Push Off Podcast. We are the members of the Universe Head family. All of the great shows at universehead.com. Check them all out. They're all very funny, very interesting, and very talented people hosting and running those
all of
for
these
us.
Things are true.
All of these things. We are just a week away of the regular season until the playoffs are here, so you want to stay tuned here. All the good stuff you're going to find at thepushoff.com, and all of our social media is tagged there too, which we're trying to stay abreast of and keep you updated on what's going on. So thanks so much to everybody. And, you know, for those of you that want to help us out, tell friends and family, start listening to us. Maybe unsubscribe and resubscribe. I don't know if that helps our numbers at all. Download all of the episodes. Tell people out loud what you're listening to on your public transportations in the morning. And
especially when
things.
They don't ask.
Yeah, just this is. Have you heard of this podcast? And just tell people about it. All right. Thank you again so much for joining us. That's all we got. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
And you will have yourselves a wonderful weekend watching football as you always do, because we do too. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year. Have a happy new year.
Happy new year.
And hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Adios.
Adios.